exactly that. Your engine needs to be checked by a professional. For all the issues that need attention, Lloyd's Auto Repair in Emporia is there for you. Lloyd's is a full-service shop with decades of experience and the resources to solve all your vehicle's needs. Oil changes, shocks, brakes, engine and transmission work, and everything else your car might need to stay reliable and keep those warning lights off your dash. Lloyd's Incorporated, 1221 Industrial Road in Emporia.
KVOE Live and Local, good morning. It is 8:20. And it's time for the Emporia Showcase with USD 253 Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder. The Emporia Showcase brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice, better rates, a better return. Because you're an owner, that's what you'll earn. The difference is clear, it's easy to see. It's your financial institution for the educational community. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice.
Welcome once again to the Emporia Showcase with USD 253 Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder. Allison, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Ron and Chuck?
Doing good. Well, thanks for joining us again for another edition, our monthly edition of the Emporia Showcase. And we kick things off with Allison always jumping into some hashtag Emporia Proud Moments before we get into our topic this month, which is School Board Recognition Month. So we'll be getting to that in just a moment. But first, Allison, lead the way with some hashtag Emporia Proud Moments.
All right. Well, our first hashtag is how we are taking lemons and turning them into lemonade. We have had to close Mayor Preschool today and tomorrow because the number of positives and quarantines with our staff as well as students. So our Healthy Maynard staff and our principal, Joy McGee, are going to two of our elementary schools that have a high number of staff absences and not enough subs to help support keeping our students in school. We really appreciate our Maynard staff and Joy's teamwork and willingness to jump in and help, and it really demonstrates that we are all in this together. And I would also just like to highlight at this time all of our Emporia educators and school leaders doing everything they can to keep students in school, because it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride.
Yeah, the numbers are challenging. There's no doubt about that. So that's good to hear.
They are. And I'll just take a minute to just to say that we're really watching the peak. And so we don't know if we're at the peak yet. So we're just being careful about if, when we might need some non-school days. So we're just being very cautious about that. And not only if we got to that point of if we had to cancel academics, we'd also have to cancel athletics. And so just hoping that and helping people understand that if we close down, it'll be everything. So just want everybody to understand that. And we just looked at some other opportunities, but we're keeping kids in school as long as we can.
So are you near the peak? I mean, is it getting close? Because the numbers are high out there, Allison.
You know, it was helpful that OLAPA, when they closed, they were sharing their metrics on how they made that decision, and KCK schools as well. OLAPA was looking at the 20% of all certified and classified staff that they were not able to get some substitute teachers for. They have been struggling with that. I will just highlight Emporia Public Schools as well and our board members that we have really worked hard to keep universal masking in place, all of our mitigation strategies. So even while we are dealing with some challenging times, when we look at our percentages, we are not there yet as a district. So we've had a lot of conversation about that the end of last week and then yesterday in particular, and had principals input, asked the principals to go back and get building leadership team input on what we could do for non-school days, because we also want to make those productive. We want to be careful about snow days, because if and when we have to cancel school with school, with the weather, because we know that weather just kind of pushes out a little bit more to the spring, and we could be calling a snow day in late April. We just don't know that. So what are some other options? So we're being very careful about all of that and knowing that we have families that make plans when school ends in May, so also being very sensitive to that as well. So trying to balance all of that and looking at the East Coast and the number of positives that they have and know that we probably have that wave coming toward us. We have high numbers, but because of the mitigation strategies, we've been able to keep students in school, which is really our focus.
It seems really, I mean, you look at this and you have a better sense of just how things have been going over the last 2 to 3 months, but this is putting a strain on the district and really districts across the state that has not been seen during the pandemic, if I'm reading this correctly.
Right, and we had options of having remote instruction, and the legislature decided to change that. So we have remote access for students, but we don't have the remote instruction. So the access is just those students who are able, and with their parents' support, being able to remote into the classroom, but we're not having instruction that is geared directly for students who are online. And we've really had parents choosing more of the homework packets. So it has been a challenge. While we're trying to address the gap and really increase that learning that occurred during that pandemic when everybody was remote, we're having other challenges as we are trying to keep students in school. But even with the mitigation strategies, we are still experiencing those positives in the quarantines.
All right, let's move on to what you got parent-teacher conferences coming up next.
Yes. Let's get back on the positives here. And not COVID positives. We're excited to have our second trimester parent-teacher conferences next week. Most conferences will begin on Tuesday evening, January 25th, and finish on Thursday morning. All of our conferences will be held virtually. If parents or guardians have any questions regarding the schedule, we ask that they contact their student school. Also like to take this time to congratulate our debate coach, Adam Moore, and our Emporia High School debate team for placing third at the 5A State Debate Championship. EH students Jennifer Miranda and Maddox Meshock did a fantastic job and were the only team who entered the quarterfinals undefeated at 6-0. So really, really proud of that team. Congratulations as well to Carolyn Dorsey, Emporia High School biology teacher and high school coach for the Lady Spartans basketball team. This past week, Coach Dorsey reached her 100th win as a career victory. She achieved this milestone when her team defeated the Topeka West Charges with a final score of 55-26. So that was very exciting at that game, and her son had even dressed up and had a tie on for that for that honor. And then also just want to provide a quick construction update. Yesterday, I was able to go on a construction tour with our board members. Everyone is really impressed with the work that is happening at each of the current construction projects. The construction team is just getting started at Logan Avenue, and they are at 10% complete. Emporia High School is at 71% complete, and we looked at the new science wing, which is going to be outstanding, as well as a renovation to our art room that have really improved the facilities for our students and staff. The Jones Early Childhood Development Center is nearing completion at 95%. This facility is state-of-the-art and built specifically for our youngest learners. And just continue to be amazed at how these projects are improving our facilities while making them safe and secure for years to come. So lots of exciting, positive things happening in Emporia Public Schools.
There is no doubt about that. And Allison, way to bring it today with those percentages, too. Nicely done. Like that. Don't have to follow up on that. That is done and in the books here. Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is School Board Recognition Month, and we'd like to welcome in a couple of school board members. I know, Allison, you're very appreciative of the time and effort that the school board does here.
Absolutely. They put in so many hours beyond what everyone sees just at the board meetings. They're on a variety of committees and boards themselves, as well as just getting out in the community and listening to everyone's concerns and questions, as well as the positives that they have about Emporia Public Schools.
Well, we want to do a little celebrating here, School Board Appreciation Month, by thanking our school board members, including Leslie Seeley, Jerome Dorsey, Art Gutierrez, Jennifer Thomas, Jamie Reaver, Grant Riles, and Lillian Lingenfelter. These seven individuals make, crucial decisions for the students and staff at Emporia Public Schools, USD 253. So a big thank you to all school board leaders. And we are excited to be joined this morning by Art Gutierrez, who is president of USD 253 School Board. Art, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Art.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us on, Ron and Chuck. It's a great morning right now.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. And we have Leslie Seeley with us here this morning. Leslie is School Board Vice President. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
How are you today?
Good. How about you guys?
Doing great today.
Doing good. Well, good. Art, let's go ahead and get you started here, and let me ask you a kind of a combined question, which is really how long you've been on the school board here for USD 253, and really what prompted you to be interested in being a school board member?
Well, I think I'm at year six, so they all seem to kind of blend together at this point. But, no, I had I guess Susan Brinkman was a school board member at the time, and she was really encouraging me, and I was looking for opportunities to get more involved in the community. And being in education at Emporia State University, the school board felt like a really great fit, and I knew we needed some representation for our Hispanic community on the school board, and so I guess the rest is history.
Well, thanks for your service. We certainly appreciate that here on the school board. Leslie, same to you. How many years have you been on the board, and what motivated you to become a school board member?
Well, I'm starting my third year of a four-year term. I like to say that because a lot of people, I think that the school board term is only 2 years, but those are four-year terms. And I just think public education is invaluable. And it always meant so much to me as growing up and as a student, and then seeing my kids go through Emporia Public Schools. So I've always tried to give time to every activity and school that my kids have been in, and school board felt like a natural fit, especially when you've got folks like Art encouraging you to put yourself out there.
Well, and Leslie, how much time do you spend on the school board duties? I don't know if you've logged all your hours, but if you can kind of give us a general feeling of how much time and what duties make up that time as far as a school board member.
Well, I'm not a great person to ask that because when I started school board was January of 2020, and so that was just 2 months before everything went crazy. So in a normal school board term, I would think that people would probably spend a little bit less time than in a crazy COVID pandemic school board term. But between committees and reading emails and notes and all kinds of things, I would say that easily probably 5 to 10 hours a week.
Art, what's your time, commitment here when it comes to board time at this stage? And the other question that comes up is just how you balance everything in order to make your work-life-home balance work out.
Yeah, I'd agree with Leslie. It's probably about 5 to 10 hours, especially right now. There's so much to keep up on and really I try to reach out to other school board members in other districts to see how they're handling different challenges, so that makes it a little more intensive. And also serving it as the president, vice president, is just more time consuming. So, just being on the board, it's a commitment, but being in that executive role is much more time intensive. You count on your family and stay involved with them to help kind of keep you grounded and keep that balance. You know, that's at the end of the day what we're doing it for is for our family. So that's what I do. Watching my girls play basketball or participate in activities is something that's always, trying to get my time as well.
Well, Art, what's been the biggest challenge this year serving on the school board? Or is that, I'm sure maybe you just can't list one.
Sure. Well, I've been really concerned about the pandemic and, reflecting on how we've handled that in the past and kind of where it's going. So I've been putting a lot of thought into that, and talking a lot about that. Another priority is really advocating for our public education in our district. You know, right now there's a lot of negativity towards public schools and education, and maybe a little bit towards our teachers, and I really want to focus on sharing all the good things that's happening in education across our state and in our district, and all the hard work that our staff and teachers are putting in to help, with our kids with learning loss and just getting them back to as normal education system as we can.
Leslie, how would you describe, the biggest challenge of the year serving on the board, or, the biggest challenge of being a board member? And I'm curious as to whether COVID's going to play as big a role in your answer as it is for Arts.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the majority of the emails that we receive from, parents and members of our community and teachers are almost all COVID-related, and understandably so. But like Art said, public education kind of is under attack right now. And so doing anything we can to promote all the good things, and how hard our teachers and faculty and staff, everybody just works so hard, and our students are so amazing. And, of course, our budget is something of a challenge as well. It's so hard I want to be at the point where we're able to pay people what they deserve. And really, this insurance issue has been such a huge deal, getting that under control. So that's definitely a challenge.
So any list of accomplishments? What would you consider your greatest accomplishment so far, Leslie, as a board member?
Well, not to sound like a pity party, but probably just not quitting. It's been a really hard time to be a board member. Thankfully, we live in a community that's more tolerant and giving than a lot of places in this country because, you know, there are school board members who receive death threats and horrible things like that during these hard times. And I can honestly say, you know, as angry of emails we might have received, we've never received something like a death threat or something that awful. So I'm pretty proud of all of us, our outgoing board members and our incoming, for sticking with it and just doing our best.
Art, how about you? What do you see as the biggest accomplishment of being a board member right now?
For me, it's the passage of the bond, and specifically all that great work that the Jones Early Childhood Development Center, you know, I've come to realize that you can actually serve on a board and not have to pass a bond if the timing is right. So if you serve on the board and you actually get one passed, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. But I really think our commitment to early childhood education is going to serve our community and our students for decades to come. And it's just an important, proud moment for me.
So, Art, what do you enjoy most about serving on the board?
That's a good question. Probably all the great people I've had the opportunity to work with, like Leslie and our other board members, they help me grow personally and help keep me level-headed. And, you know, it's really great to have a support. You know, we're in this together. And then getting to see and visit with our kids and see the accomplishments they have and the great things that they're doing after they graduate. So that just keeps you going, keeps you inspired.
How about you, Leslie? What do you see here as the greatest not maybe so much as the greatest accomplishments here, but also the goals that you're hoping to accomplish here later this year?
As far as goals, like I said, the budget, for sure, getting our budget in check, and Dr. Harder has been doing a really good job, and her team, and helping us to identify issues where we could, or areas where we can save money, and but yet, getting to a point where we can pay people more and pay for things like, you know, our roofs and our parking lots at the high school especially. So those goals are big. And then, of course, trying to get back to something somewhat normal. I would love it if next year we're never even thinking about having to close schools because of COVID shortage, you know, staff shortages and students being out. So fingers crossed on that one.
Leslie, would you consider having kids actually face-to-face learning an accomplishment?
Yes. I know we were a little bit more conscientious or careful than some other districts last year, but I don't regret it when we got kids back in person full-time. It was so important, and I know that kids do best in person. And so I've been really grateful that we've had that opportunity all year so far this year.
Well, I know you touched on this briefly, Leslie, but how do you receive information generally from, you know, community members, and what do you do or can you do with that information?
It's mostly emails. Our board email addresses are on the district website, so people feel, I hope that people feel like they can contact us at any time. Some people message me through Facebook Messenger. It kind of just depends on the familiarity level. And I do try to respond to every single message I receive. It might not be, you know, immediately, but usually within 24 hours. And just listening and acknowledging their concerns, but also not, you know, promising more than I can do.
Art, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, your selection here as president-elect for the Kansas Association of School Boards. Talk about, I guess, the details of being elected and really what your responsibilities are going to be, how those overlap and dovetail with what you're doing here locally.
Sure. For the last 3 years, I've served on the board of directors for the Kansas Association of School Boards. And, you know, as you look toward consistency, you're trying to identify the next leadership. So I was asked a couple years ago to consider that a position, and I turned it down, and then it came up again, and so I threw my hat in the ring. And you go through a nominating process where you have to be vetted by the nomination committee, and you go in for an in-person interview and complete a questionnaire, and then you have to do a speech and have to have a nominating and second speech and get voted on at our annual convention. The role is similar to what we do here on the board. I'll be responsible for setting the agenda, leading the meetings, and then the evaluation of our executive director, and also representing the association of the state of Kansas at the national level with our National School Board Association and our Western Regional Association. So some extra meetings in addition to the meetings I have here locally.
Two speeches, that's serious stuff right there, Art. Tell you.
It was. Yeah. It was very serious.
Well, Leslie, let's talk about the chain of command for someone who has a concern regarding a school issue. When should someone contact a board member? How exactly does that work if people want to be heard?
Sure. So if you're having an issue, you know, your first step is always with your student's teacher, and then, you know, the building level principal. And it goes up from there. I don't want to say the board is the last resort, but we do have to, when people send us concerns maybe directly about some issue like that, we do have to say, you know, thanks for making me aware, but did you go through these steps first? Because there is a chain, and we just really, for uniformity and sake and following our procedures that we really like to follow in our school district, It's all about starting, you know, kind of at a lower level and moving your way up. And hopefully it gets resolved way before it ever gets to the board. That's our hope.
Well, Leslie, Art, we really appreciate you joining us here today. And you know, this is a lot of work. Folks see the meetings every other week, but they don't realize exactly what goes into the position. So, Art, really thanks for not only your time with us here today, but really thanks for your work here with the Emporia School Board and helping to set the foundation here for our kids.
Thank you, Chuck and Ron.
Leslie, thank you very much, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks so much.
Well, Allison, a couple of great representatives, the Emporia USD 253 Board of Education, Board President Art Gutierrez, and Board Vice President Leslie Seeley. You got a board, it seems, Allison, that's doing good work.
Absolutely. We are very, very thankful for their dedication and commitment to students and staff. It makes a huge difference, just like they talked about, that they are really committed to this hard work.
Well, Allison, as always, thanks for all you do, and thank you so much for your time on the Emporia Showcase this month.
Thank you. Well, we always appreciate you highlighting the wonderful things happening in Emporia Public Schools.
Have a great day.
You as well.
That is Dr. Allison Anderson Harder, Superintendent, Emporia Public Schools, USD 253, on the Emporia Showcase, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, ESFCU, the educated choice. Good morning. It's 8:43.
Microsoft is buying the gaming company Activision Blizzard for